welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Talking today about something called the Internet of Things, which refers to smart devices all around us that can talk to each other, talk to us. Think of your refrigerator, maybe, sending you a text to let you know that you're low on milk. Maybe the bridge you drive across has sensors that detect when it's icing up, and the bridge talks to the computers in your car. All kinds of applications are being developed now, and in Muncie recently, a group of people interested in all this gathered to experiment, build some simple devices, and see what they could do. This was the DevFest Hack Day, and Renee Heumann, an assistant professor of journalism graphics at Ball State University, was there.
All right, so we are here at the DevHack. Google sponsored this event, which has been a lot of fun. We spent the morning talking about kind of the history behind this type of development, and it's been fun for me because I'm a programmer. I work on the software side, and this was actually hardware and plugging things together, and it felt like a little kid playing with Legos. And, you know, when that little LED light lit up, it was just like, oh, look what I did, Mom! So even though it was a lot of fun, there was a lot of application that I think we're going to be able to see for this idea of the Internet of Things, creating smart objects that actually communicate with some type of human interface on the other side. So really great time, really good event.
What was the challenge today? What was it that you were doing?
So the idea behind this was the Internet of Things. So how can you make your smart washing machine talk to, you know, your smartphone before you get home? And things like that. This idea that you can make objects smarter and communicate and control them, even remotely. And so we did this from a very, very small scale using technology that even a couple of years ago would have cost us $200, cost us $2 today to experiment and play with this idea of creating objects that we can control remotely.
What do you think comes out of something like this? Do you think this is how ideas get born, new products or things?
I think it definitely is. I had a student a couple years ago that was using this type of technology to just play and learn, but the way he thought about it was he loves his dog, and he developed a little doggy vest where he sewed the technology, the little chip, into the vest so he could monitor the dog's heart rate and his temperature. So, you know, it kind of was like, yeah, he was doing this stuff in class with me, but then to be able to, like, go home and make something that it contributed to the quality of his life, it was a lot of fun.
Some people think that today, to create new ideas, you don't necessarily have to be in Silicon Valley or something like that. It can happen in Muncie.
It can definitely happen in Muncie. I've met some really creative people here. And then you have spaces like this. We're in CoLab right now, which allows all these people to kind of come together but have a separate space to work and develop some really innovative ideas.
My name is Leo Doyle, and I run an internet company called Midwest Internet. And today I'm actually at a conference for the Internet of Things, where we actually got these little devices that are $3 a piece, and we were able to go ahead and connect them to different things and control different things. And it was just an introduction, if you will, to Internet of Things.
The Internet of Things. This is about a time when, maybe not too far off, or maybe right now, when our phone will check with our refrigerator to see if we need to pick up anything on the way home?
Oh, exactly right. Like right now, you can go look on the internet and look inside your refrigerator, some of the advanced refrigerators, and see what's inside there. You have devices in your home like, oh, the Echo, the Amazon Echoes, where you can actually ask at different devices like the news or the weather. You have different devices in your car that you can communicate with the outside world. So pretty soon, everything is going to talk to everything else, and that's a little bit what that was about today.
Can you talk a little bit about your background and where we've come in the past 20 years? Did we know that we would be where we are today back then?
Oh my gosh, no. Now, 20 years ago, it changed so much. I mean, I started long ago. I started in computers in 69, and it was paper tape and punch cards. So to see where we're coming from now, I mean, back then you couldn't even think about owning your own computer. And now everything you own, like even cars, have 60 computers in them. So no, you couldn't see what was happening today.
Some of us are walking around with smartphones with incredible computing power.
The world's combined knowledge on your pocket. If you get lost, you can find out where you're going to. You can find out anything you want to just from your darn smartphone. And it's an amazing invention, really. It's gone well beyond what anyone thought it was going to be.
So your background is so advanced. What did you find compelling about this, which was kind of an event also for beginners, right?
It was for beginners and advanced alike. What I was interested in particular was the parts where you can actually hook up a device to the internet. For instance, if you wanted to go ahead and see if your garage door was open or closed, well, these little computers sell for less than $3, and you can hook them up and connect them to the internet, and you can see anywhere in the world on your smartphone whether you're, like, if your hot water is leaking, dripping on the ground, or if your garage door is open or closed, something like that.
Can you please talk about your background, you know, where you taught?
Sure. I have 2 degrees in electrical engineering, and I have an advanced degree in computer science. I've taught at several colleges. The last college I was a professor at was Purdue University, teaching computer science. And back then, I used to teach one of the first classes in web development and online access. And since then, I've actually run my own internet company. Since 92, I started the internet, commercial internet in Indiana, and had a company ever since then. This was, everyone at the time thought, why do you want the internet? What good is it? And we actually had to have classes to teach people why they wanted the internet, because people at the time didn't believe in it, didn't think it was going to be worth anything. And it's amazing today that there's a whole generation that's all I've ever known is the internet. And to think that I come from a time when it was an impossibility to everyone has it, and it's in everyone's pocket now, is just an amazing thing.
Is there anything that you're working on that you want to build or develop, or an idea that interests you particularly now?
Absolutely. I'm looking at connecting different things to the Internet of Things. For instance, anything that you can hook up to, like a sensor, or hook up to like a speaker, a light, anything you want to control. When you have these devices that only cost $3 a piece, that's a game changer. Before, you needed whole computers, a room full of equipment and such, and now you can buy smart devices. You can buy a smart light bulb to program. You can buy smart, even cars are fly-by-wire now. There's no more linkages. It's all computerized linkages that work with the computers.
Leo Doyle, who runs Midwest Internet in Indianapolis and was at the DevFest, or Developer Fest, Internet of Things Hack Day at the CoLab co-working space in Muncie. You also heard from Renee Heumann, an assistant professor of journalism graphics at Ball State with a background in front-end web development, coding, and scripting. Also at the hackathon were a few students. We'll talk with one of those folks and hear from organizer Chris Turvey coming up.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
So I had to look this up to be sure I got it right. A hackathon, also known as a hack day, hack fest, or code fest, is a design event in which computer programmers and others involved in software and hardware development collaborate intensively on projects. Well, there was one of those in Muncie recently at the downtown CoLab co-working space. Lucas Smith, a Ball State computer science major, attempted to explain what was happening. I say attempted. He was fine, but your correspondent was a little slow in catching on.
Today we were working with creating an Internet of Things device, specifically. Well, we were using a derivative of the Arduino boards, which would allow us to connect things like light receptors and LEDs, or even detect temperature in the air temperature and moisture in the air, which would allow us to do things like send messages, or like, let's say, a plant dies, we could get an email.
Lucas, we're looking at the device that you built, and this looks to be a bit smaller than a deck of cards, and it's a white, like a circuit board, and with a chip on it.
Yep.
And so there's a CPU on here, which means it's a small computer.
Correct. They're very interesting little devices. They're about, let's see if my math's correct, they're about a tenth of what you would normally, like, of the power of a standard, like, commercial desktop, but the amount of power you can do with that, like, you don't really need that much in order to send a text message. So it keeps the price down. It allows you to do very, very interesting thoughts. I mean, no one would create a test project like this if it costs $300 for every one.
And you have this hooked into your laptop. Is there a way, looking at your laptop, that we can see this thing or see its status? Or
There is, actually. I have a connection created to it right now.
You know, we think of programming languages or machine language, or how do you talk to this thing?
This one is actually very unique compared to most of the devices we worked on today. In my case, I installed a version of Python, which was completely engineered to work with this particular implementation. So as a result,
Python's a programming language. Yes. It's normally used in databases?
Usually it's used in data analysis or research. So it's very lightweight, it's very quick to write. It would take like a couple minutes. I can literally do like LED.on and it will turn on, where my friends would have to do 10, 15 lines to do the same thing.
So we are looking on your laptop now, and
I'm connected into the USB port at the moment. So I have a internet connection running to it because this device admits a miniature web server. So for testing purposes, I have a wireless connection, which I can actually look at, but I think it'd be easier to show you the web server implementation.
So basically, you're talking to this thing not directly through the computer, but over a Wi-Fi here.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? So it doesn't really have to be connected to your computer.
No, it
could
it
be
not.
sitting over there running the refrigerator.
Exactly. So I have a web page here, which just allows me to upload and download the web code and whatnot. So, and if I want to, I could create another website. I could create a website to interface with this thing. I may actually do that when I get home at some point. But
eventually, what do you think that you'd like to build? What is it that you'd like to make?
That's a good question.
How about something that you've made before and you thought, well, I'm kind of glad I did that. You know, I mean,
one of the things I created that I personally have really liked was a small network analysis tool. It specifically would go over server logs and detect unusual network behaviors. Specifically, it would detect hacking attempts and whatnot. And then it would refine, analyze them into a format which humans could understand.
Lucas, tell me about being in college, what you're studying and everything.
I am a junior of computer science at Ball State University. And my minor is information systems operations management through the Miller's College of Business.
Have you had an internship yet?
I currently have some conditional offers with a number of companies.
Where do you see all of this heading? I mean, the Internet of Things, does that mean that many of the objects we encounter, we'll be able to talk to them, direct them?
For most of these devices, you won't even know they exist. They'll be seamlessly integrated with larger systems, in my opinion, at least.
Give me an idea how that might work. There's a lot of attention being paid to systems around the home, right?
Correct. So one possible implementation of an Internet of Things device would be sending off or opening an app, pushing a button, and being able to lock every door in your house. Or potentially turn off the lights, remotely manipulate the thermostat. A lot of this stuff is already optional. It's just not very widespread implementation. A lot of this is still working if you want to. But a lot of those things, you don't think about a small little chip inside of your house. You think, I have an app. Okay, I push this button. Oh, somehow it magically has turned the tumblers in my door and adjusted the thermos, and yeah.
Lucas Smith, a junior computer science major at Ball State University with a minor in information systems operations management. He was part of a crowd of hackers working with circuit boards and CPUs at a Muncie event called the Dev Fest, or Developer Fest, Internet of Things Hack Day.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Yeah, I'm Chris Turvey. I work at Ball State University in iLearn Research. I've worked at Ball State for about 15 years here in Muncie, Indiana. I also run a Google developer group that hosted DevFest 2016 at the CoLab. DevFest is an international celebration of coding and communities coming together to accomplish the goals of getting communities to figure out how to code and trying to get people that code to figure out how to become part of communities. I pretend that it's about the technology, but really to me today, there was a point like after lunch when I looked out there and somebody's like, you need to get out there to show them what the next thing they're working on. And I was like, well, wait, do you hear that? Everybody's in there talking right now. So this is like my double secret way to try to build a community.
I think that the hope of some people is that things like this, the collab, the makerspace, a community like you're building, could eventually lead to companies starting up here, that sort of thing.
So I know that there are things that I know, and I know that there's things that people that showed up here today know. And if they can leverage my knowledge and move it beyond where I could take it, at the end of the day, I'm not a business person. But if someone else in my community can take the things that they've learned from me and do it, to me, that's like an empowering message to say that we're doing the right thing.
It's good for everybody if that happens.
It's good for Muncie. It's good for the state. It's good for everyone around us. Yeah.
Indiana, 150 years ago or so, was a place great technological advances in automobiles and all kinds of things. Do you think we're on the edge of seeing that again, maybe developing devices or systems or?
I really hope so. As we start out on like each coast, I go to San Francisco and about once a year, and I've been to like their big hacker dojo out there, and I've met their people, and I've seen those kind of communities form out there. And those are thriving areas where people are doing the knowledge sharing. And I'm hopeful that Indiana, because once again, these things tend to start out on the coast and they work their way in, I hope that that can really synergize the communities around here.
Do you think that Muncie is more connected today to the world of developers and technology than maybe it was before because of our ability to work remotely and, you know, creative people finding a community?
When I look at the roster of people that are here at the CoLab, I know that many of them are working in for businesses that are in other states. So I think that the connectivity through the CoLab is the great example of how Indiana is branching outside of Indiana and making those connections to other places.
There's a view among some people that everybody, in general terms, you know, young people should be coding. Everybody should be coding. There's Code Academy. Do you think that more people should be coding? Should people be reaching out to Code Academy or things like that?
I think it's been 4 years ago, Eric Schmidt was talking. He's the CEO of the conglomerate Alphabet that Google is now part of. He was saying that every business at this point is a tech business. They just don't know it yet. And when you look at technology in that perspective, there's a lot of people who, when I look at what their jobs are, I just know that there are parts of it that I know that I could automate and I could make their job easier for me if I were the person doing their job. In the end, I think that, every job is a tech job. You just don't know it yet.
Would you advise the parents of kids in grade school to be kind of looking at this to sort of maybe so that they're prepared for opportunities that may come their way in high school or college?
I have two kids of my own, and I haven't pushed them towards programming yet. You know, my son's 9, but like the brain, there's been different studies that at about the age of 12 is about when the brain's starting to be able to handle the functions of being able to figure out the different levels of programming and variables and, you know, how functions work and the different ways you can program.
I have to ask you this. You seem like the kind of guy who could probably be at home in some startup in San Francisco or something like that. What keeps you in Muncie?
Well, so during my presentation today, I made multiple mentions that I'm the cheap dad. Like, that was always like the reason I like the board that we use today. It's $3. And the older boards that I would have used that I always would shy away from it, those were 40. Well, once again, me being the cheap dad, I like the fact that I have a house in a neighborhood that's nice and that I paid $70,000 for my house. When I look out at California, I don't know how much I would have to make to be able to pay for my $500,000, you know, one-story, two-bedroom house. Like, you know, they're practically giving real estate away in Indiana. I don't mind the cold. I used to live in Milwaukee, so when I came to Indiana, I came here for the warmth.
When we talk about a development fest, similar to a hackathon, sort of a problem solving, a building get together?
Well, when I called this event IoT Hack Day, the idea for me was we're going to be hacking this thing together. We're going to go through different code examples that exist inside of the Arduino library to try to make the development boards that we have do the things that we want them to do. Writing the code from scratch, and that would have been a bit tedious for us to do because a lot of the people that showed up, they're programmers, and there were a lot of beginners that showed up today too. But as we worked through those code examples, you know, we kind of built it up. And so we ended up, we hacked together the solutions to the things that we wanted to get done for the day.
You supplied a small computer and a board.
So today during my presentation, I showed a clip from the movie, The Computer Who Wore Tennis Shoes. It's a Disney movie from the 60s. And the idea from that point in time, it was you have certain things that can happen in the real world. And what they did in the movie, they used a rain gauge to determine if some activity should happen. When the rain gauge filled up, they used a network to call the grocery store. And so I use that example today, trying to explain to the people here at the DevFest what IoT was, which that's the part of the Internet of Things. To me, that's using a very simple computer to connect to a larger network to accomplish some sort of goal, whether it's just communicating to another service or whether it's ordering groceries or...
I was going to say, maybe your refrigerator knows that you're running low on milk and sends you a text or something.
Absolutely. Those devices are out in the marketplace already. There's smart dryers and washers. They'll tell you when the cycle's done, and it'll send you a text message, or if you have the app on your phone, it'll give you a notification and let you know.
Chris Turvey of Ball State University's iLearn department. He hosted the recent Developer Fest at the CoLab co-working space in downtown Muncie. This was about the Internet of Things, a term referring to the spread of all kinds of smart devices that can talk to networks, apps, people. If you're like me and you have trouble beating your phone's computer at a game of hearts, the prospect of smart refrigerators, cars, and other objects might sound a little spooky. We've been reading about some of this and thought you might like to meet some of the local folks who are rolling up their sleeves and starting to build this brave new world of intelligent things. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.